Homer Simpson, we'd eat them all day, every day. Supermodels? Probably wouldn't. They come in many colors and flavors, and for years they have had a place in our cars, on our desks, on diner counters, kitchen tables, and sometimes even in the bedroom. Even in these times when we are tightening our wallets and waistbands, we can still rely on them to be cheap and delicious. I am talking about those wonderful sticky treats. Donuts. To tell us more about the history of this pastry is Paul Mullins, author of Glazed America, A History of the Donut. He is an associate professor at Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis, and he joins us from member station WFYI in Indianapolis. Welcome to the show, Paul.
Thanks.
I hope you're not going to talk with your mouth full.
I won't.
Okay. Let me talk a little bit about the history of the donut. Apparently, the fascination took off in the 40s when the chains opened, like Krispy Kreme and Dunkin' Donuts. What was happening in the country to make it such a popular food then?
Well, the 40s clearly are a moment when donuts become a mass foodway, really, for the first time. And there's several key things, but the big deal is really suburbanization after World War II leads to folks moving out to the edges, the peripheries of cities, and driving in. So car culture explodes really rapidly. And the donut is just an ideal food for commuter foodways. So you begin to see folks that are driving into cities in the morning. They want to pick up a short breakfast on the way. And the donut serves that function really, really well.
Does a donut mean different things to different consumers?
Oh, certainly. And for some people, donuts are the supreme food. And for other folks, they were the very underside of American society and the worst thing that we were doing to our bodies. But think about all the meanings that converge in a donut. We have these really consequential personal feelings we associate with donuts. We might have gone, for instance, for donut treats after Little League when we were a kid. We might have bought them from the band members who were in our school. We had them in church. We stopped at a little donut shop in and out of work. And so all this nostalgia has a tendency to really hang around donut shops, and the chains have really tried to play on that as much as they possibly can.
I'm someone who will walk by a box of a dozen donuts, which will often appear, obviously, on a Sunday morning when we're doing the program, and I say to myself, I don't need to eat them. The calories are going to leap right from the box onto my hips. Am I unusual?
Well, I think that's actually really typical, is that for a lot of people, the donut is primarily symbolically a sort of battleground that you and I as individuals are all waging with our bodies. And some of us have decided to give in to that desire. We've decided we're going to embrace this donut on a regular basis. It may be daily. It may just be on that Sunday work day. And for others of us, we're fighting very hard to diffuse all those desires.
What about now? I mean, we're being told to stay away from too much sugar, trans fat, fried foods, all of this. Is this having any effect on the donut's popularity?
My own impression is that donut sales are always very profitable. They're very steady, regardless of the body disciplines that are floating around us, regardless of low-carb dieting impulses. For many of us, donuts are a very special treat that has a very special status, and we're not going to give it up, or it's going to be one of the last treats we're going to give up.
Well, what do you think? Is it just because it's usually small and easy to carry that we find them so many places? I mean, in the car, on the desk.
Well, for very little money at a donut shop, you can fill up very, very rapidly. And for lots of us that are hurried on the way to work and don't have a lot of time, can't stop, linger over a breakfast, whether it's at home or in the office or in our car, donuts are really well suited to that sort of lifestyle.
Now, I'm going to share some donut memories with you, and then I'm going to ask you what your favorite donut memory is. There was a bakery right outside my hometown in Worcester, Massachusetts, and they used to make square glazed donuts. And we used to call them honey dipped, not glazed. And that was a big destination because these donuts were square. But I also remember during the blackout in the 1960s in New England, and happened to be with my father in the car. And we were at Dunkin' Donuts, and there were these cars lined up, and everyone had their headlights on so that the store would actually have some light, and it was doing land office business that night. What's your donut memory?
I grew up in Richmond, Virginia, and there was a Krispy Kreme at the other side of town. And by some quirk of great convenience, it was the very end of the bus line. And the other end of the bus line was actually my neighborhood. So my mom and my brother would often ride that bus. So often that was kind of there was a treat, you know, at the end of the trip. We'd go and we'd get a donut at the Krispy Kreme and linger in a kind of nice sit-and-sip shop. And I think that's actually the memory I most closely associate with donut chains.
Do you have a favorite kind of donut?
There's a local donut shop here in Indianapolis, Long's Donuts, that does very fine cream horns, among the finest foods that I've ever had the good fortune to ingest. And I like them a whole lot.
Those are the stuffed ones with the cream,
indeed.
Right? Yeah, people tend to fall into categories. They want the jelly ones, or they want, you know, the kind that just has some kind of glaze on it.
Oh, people fiercely defend their favorite donut. For some people are bear claw fans, some people are cruller fans, some of us are cream horn fans, some folks are cake donuts, some people want yeast raised donuts. There's a whole variety of allegiances out there in the donut world.
Paul Mullins is the author of Glazed America, A History of the Donut. He's an associate professor at Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis. He joined us from member station WFYI in Indianapolis. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Thank you.